Good morning, welcome. My name is Robin Proud. I'm a member of the program committee here at Prairie. Prairie aspires to be an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, family structure, age, abilities. And later in the service, we'll invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so we can get to know you better. On Sunday, we provide a wide variety of services. They're presented sometimes by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community. At this time, we don't have a minister, but we are honored sometimes to have a visiting minister, just such as today. The opening words have a little word missing there. It's from Rilke, "Go to the limits of your longing." Now I'll introduce Penny, who is going to do the chalice lighting. Penny Andrews has worn a number of hats: teacher, social worker, TV station director. She was one of the founding members of James Reeb, and it's through that experience she went on to become an ordained interfaith minister, receive a doctor of ministry, and become a board-certified chaplain. Retired now for work at UW Hospital, Central Wisconsin Center, and a local hospice as a chaplain, profoundly shaped her life today. Permaculturist, grandmother, spiritual companion, and lover of life, her ministry now focuses on exploring how we can live lives of meaning and purpose as we enter this uncharted future. Penny will be the chalice lighting.
We light this chalice for the brothers and sisters who suffer from storms and droughts and fires, for the species that suffer, for the world leaders delegated to make decisions for life. We light this chalice for the web of life, that it may be mended through courageous actions. We light this chalice that love and wisdom might inspire our own actions and the actions of our communities, so that we may look into the eyes of our brothers and sisters and all beings, that we may truthfully say we are doing our part to care for them and the future of all Earth's children. We begin with a meditation from Joanna Macy. As you close your eyes and relax into your breath, let your level of awareness drop deep within you like a stone, sinking below the level of words can express, to the deep web of relationship that underlies all experience. Out of this vast net you cannot fall. No stupidity or failure or cowardice can ever sever you from that living web, for that is what you are. And when you feel complete, bring your energy back into this room. Whew. Well, there's a couple of premises I want to begin this talk with. The first one is what I'm calling now the parable of the coastal bird's choice. And it's a story about eggs, please indulge me, that are made to look identical. One is the actual egg of the coastal bird, this one. The other is a ginormous egg that looks just like the coastal bird's egg. And this was research done some years back. What happened to the coastal bird's parents were that the coastal bird chose to nurture and feed, or sit on, this large egg that could no, couldn't produce life. It was made out of wood, painted to look just like the coastal bird's egg. And so, in that go-round anyway, a wooden egg was nurtured, and life was lost. Second premise. We have a problem right now. We have a big problem. Some have called it VUCA, a time of vulnerability, uncertainty, complexity, and anxiety. It's called an era of VUCA. And you might know what I'm talking about. So that's our premise. We have a big disconnect with how we are responding to our problems. And I might say, in part, it's because we've been nurturing the wrong egg. As Thoreau puts it, the real price of anything is the amount of life you exchange for it. And we are so far from that truth. So Joanna Macy has for her entire life, recently but not this week, having passed her 90th year and still going quite strong, her work life involved working in fair housing in Washington, D.C. She was a speechwriter for the Urban League. She worked for the Movement for a New Society all this many decades ago. She worked in anti-nuclear, and that took her to Three Mile Island and Chernobyl to attempt healing work. And she also worked with Sarvodaya in Sri Lanka. She's known to be a scholar of systems, Buddhism, and deep ecology. So that is what she brings to today's talk. Now, many of you have this. If you don't have this and would like one of these, please come up and get them. I've got lots of them right now. But what I'm most concerned is that you have a visual for what she has called the spiral. And it is a way that she has conceptualized how our life and our life, small life, and our life, large life, has evolved and evolves in our lives daily. They've done studies, and one of the results of the studies are that people who integrate this model have felt significant improvement in how they've been able to cope. So I offer this today as the construct for our talk, but also as something to consider as a model for life. It's one that I have been working with for 20 years now, and it has served me well, especially as we walk into increasingly challenging times. The first rung of the spiral begins with gratitude. And she says, because that is what quiets our frantic mind and brings us back to source, stimulating our empathy and confidence. It helps us to be more fully present and opens psychic space for acknowledging the pain we carry for our world. There is science now to construct the story of the journey we have made on this earth, the story that connects us with all beings. Right now, we need to remember that story, to harvest it and taste it. For we are in a hard time, and it is knowledge of the bigger story that will carry us through. Put another way, we are being called to ground our activism in what is called post-activism, and another branch is calling it mystical activism. These are the words of Matthew Fox. More than ever, we need to stop and sit and be present, to allow our love for the world and the world's love for us to be deeply felt. This can carry us beyond nationhood and ethnic or racial or religious smallness into the much bigger world of creation itself. Love will be the source of the energy and our imaginations that will render us effective agents for deeper change. Not superficial change, but a change that begins and ends with the reverence and gratitude we all carry in our hearts toward the universe that has birthed us.
I'm in Amsterdam, which is, without a doubt, the cannabis capital of the world. And that's because of the enormous, almost unbelievable interest that investors like you have in the marijuana boom. And believe me, that boom is coming to the tune of about $80 billion. But here's the real twist. For investing, it's not really Amsterdam that you want to be looking. Instead, we're looking right back in North America.
Well, now a pause. Apparently that invokes some joy somewhere in the ethers. To be alive in this beautiful, self-organizing universe, to participate in the dance of life with our senses to perceive it, our lungs that breathe it, our organs that draw nourishment from it. It is a wonder beyond words. Gratitude for the gift of life is the primary wellspring of all religions, the hallmark of the mystic, the source of all true art. Furthermore, it is a privilege to be alive in this time when we can choose to be part of the self-healing of our world. And a phrase I've come to really like and appreciate a lot because it seems to take the pressure out. We are being called to love our world back to life. Surely there is joy in the world. But we don't get joy without losing everything over the course of our lives. So what is that? That's pain. And what has pain become in our culture? It has become something to avoid at all costs. And it has cost us a cost. In owning and honoring our pain and daring to experience it, we learn the true meaning of compassion, to suffer with. We begin to know the immensity of our heart-mind. What has isolated us in private anguish now opens outward and delivers us into the wider reaches of our inter-existence. So, when we experience pain, and it's unblocked, it goes to action. When we experience pain and we are numbing ourselves, all that energy that could be released towards action is actually going towards blocking the pain. And what causes this? Our fear of pain, our fear of despair, our spiritual traps, our fear of not fitting in, distrusting our intelligence, fearing our guilt, fear of distressing loved ones, seeing ourselves as separate, hijacking our attention, fear of powerlessness, our mass media, jobs and pressures that are related, and social violence. What does this cost us, this blocking or numbing and not actually going to the heart of our pain? It costs us cognitive functioning. It costs us an access to our unconscious. It costs us our natural instinct for self-preservation. It impedes our empathy. It impedes our imagination. And it impedes our openness to feedback. Don't be afraid of the dark, cautions Joanna Macy. This is a dark time filled with suffering and uncertainty. Like living cells in a larger body, it is natural that we feel the trauma of our world. So don't be afraid of the anguish you feel, or the anger, or the fear. For these responses arise from the depth of your caring and the truth of your interconnectedness to all beings. To suffer with is the literal meaning of compassion. Surely there is pain in this room. The crisis that threatens our planet, seen from its military, ecological, and social aspects, derive from a dysfunctional and pathological notion of self. It derives from a mistaken idea about our place in the order of things. One grounding that Joanna Macy encourages very much comes through the words of John Seed, who wrote Think Like a Mountain with her. I try to remember that it's not me, John Seed, trying to protect the rainforest. Rather, I am part of the rainforest protecting itself. I am part of the rainforest recently emerged as human thinking. Seed considers this a spiritual shift. That shift of our sense of profound interconnectedness with all life. So then the next stage is seeing with new eyes. If we're not stuck in our pain, if we're honoring it, listening to it, acting from it, it takes us to seeing with new eyes. Whatever the expression of our creativity, it is our prayer and praise. Experiencing the reality of our interexistence helps us to see with new eyes. We can sense how intimately and inextricably we are related to all that is. We can taste our own power to change and feel the texture of our living connections with the past and future generations and with our brother-sister species. Another systems concept that has been profoundly helpful in understanding our place in time are the three stories. The first one is, and it's all three are going on right now, the first one is business as usual. You know, most of us are living our lives without change, profound change. Maybe we're a little more aghast at the headlines, but, and some of us have lived in those water-soaked outer areas in the Madison, Dane County area. But we are not experiencing it to the extent that Miami, Annapolis, you name it, they're out there and they're severe. Europe, cyclone bomb. Tom Hartman was saying, I don't ever remember hearing the word cyclone bomb. So that's what we're not experiencing. We're experiencing our days-to-days pretty much unscathed. But there is something called the great unraveling going on. And that is in those places that are overwhelmed. Whether it's Australia, whether it's, and maybe you can name one that's dear to your heart, Anybody got one to share? Puerto Rico, California,
New Orleans,
Alaska. Those areas that have been grown up in the most vulnerable places. So that is the unraveling, and we are watching it vicariously for the time being. But she also offers a third idea, and that is the great turning. And the great turning is where we are seeing changes made that are linking people's arms together, that are bringing voices that, you know, would that they have been together years ago, they are there now. And these are the environmental groups that are all fighting for the same protections. Can you, anybody thinking of any that are coming to mind that you know of?
Sunrise Movement.
Sunrise Movement, great, yeah. Groups of any kind that are making really positive, profound social change right now.
Nature
Conservancy, Restorative Justice, Audubon, Moms Demand Action. Yeah, we're coming together. Places like Sea Legacy and Radical Joy for... Is this an organization?
It is, yeah.
Radical Joy for Hard Times. World Wildlife Fund. Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, some of these are a mix of things that have been going on for decades, because this news is not brand new. A shocking piece of truth to me around climate change is, so these have been around. We have known about the effect of carbon in our environment for 150 years. Presidents have been warned about it for 50 years. So it is this swelling of movement in a positive direction that is beginning to show the next path. That is, Joanna calls, the great turning. Out of this darkness, a new world can arise, not to be constructed by our minds, so much as to emerge from our dreams. Even though we cannot see clearly now, it's going to turn out. We are still called to let the future into our imagination. We will not ever be able to build what we have not first cherished in our hearts. So then the last of these is the going forth, the seeds. Briefly, many people don't get involved in the great turning because there are so many different issues which seem to compete with each other. Shall I save the whales or help battered children? The truth is that all aspects of the current crisis reflect the same mistake, setting ourselves apart and using others for our gain. So to heal one aspect helps the others to heal as well. Just find what you love and work on it and take joy in that. Never try to do it alone. Link up with others. You'll spark each other's ideas and sustain each other's energy. Active hope is not wishful thinking. Active hope is not waiting to be rescued by some savior. Active hope is waking up to the beauty of life, on whose behalf we can act. We belong to this world. The web of life is calling us forth at this time. We've come a long way and we are here to play our part. With active hope, we realize that there are adventures in store, strengths to discover, and comrades to link arms with. Active hope is a readiness to discover the strengths in ourselves and others, a readiness to discover the reasons for hope and the occasions for love, a readiness to discover the size and strength of our hearts, our quickness of mind, our steadiness of purpose, our own authority, our love for life, the liveliness of our curiosity, the suspected deep well of patience and diligence, the keenness of our senses and our capacity to lead. None of these can be discovered in an armchair or without risk. It is important to remember that whatever actions we take, whatever actions I take, whatever actions you take, that is the great turning. Our turning is the great turning. Thank you, and I look forward to a rich conversation. One of the things that I'm aware of is Julian Norwich has said, all will be well, all will be well, all manner of things will be well. She said that during the Black Plague, when she looked out her window and carts were going by with bodies. So you are tapping into, we have a inherent resilient spirit, and this is clearly a time to engage. For the life of me, I don't understand why we're not in the streets regularly, for whatever cause that is dear to our hearts. So I applaud those young people, and I think perhaps my hope is they are the beginning. And what I know is Jane Fonda now is in Washington, now in LA, and she's bringing others and linking arms with the students. And there's a group out there called the Elder Climate Activists who are doing tremendous work. And so their turning is the great turning. And a very important message, very essential message of Joanna Macy's is, it's not about results, it's about motivation. Critical. Because you'll lose a lot more than you'll win, but if you stay motivated, for one thing, you'll be facing your pain directly and moving through it, acting on it. But for another, we ignite the beauty in ourselves to ignite the beauty in others. So there's that possibility of the 100th monkey, and all of a sudden, quantum results happen. And that is the power of synergy. And it can't happen if those students aren't doing what they're doing. If we stand for our values and we converse with others from our values point of view, not through rightness, wrongness, even, whoa, you're a hater, but through, you know, wow, you're talking about something that really matters to me, and I'll tell you why, you know, and then you go from that place. That seems to be the closest way we know to get through to someone who holds a vastly different opinion. Now, I recently heard, this may or may not be true, but that Fox is 40 to 60% false facts. So it's significant. And so you can only imagine how much you have to get through to get to a person's heart, if that's what their exposure is. And I just want to share that Sunshine is the person who's going to be offering this introduction to going a little deeper with Joanna Macy's work in the spring.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I want to thank you.
And finally, words of Joanna Macy on uncertainty. I know that we're not sure how this story will end. I want so much to feel sure. I want to be able to tell people, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And you know what? I realized that would not be doing anyone a favor. First of all, we can't know. But secondly, if somehow we could be given a pill to be convinced, don't worry, it's going to turn out okay, would that elicit from us our greatest creativity and courage? No. It's that knife edge of uncertainty where we come alive to our truest power. So we do ourselves the favor. We honor ourselves to live with sufficient realism and dignity to know. We're right with that knife edge of uncertainty, and we don't know how it's going to come out. There's no guarantees. Then we realize, but wait, there's no guarantees anyway. There never has been a guarantee for human life. And it's in that uncertainty that is the nature of life. All the wise ones tell us that. That's where we come alive. Surely there is hope in this place. Go in peace. Thank you.